You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Friend of the program and fellow Common Fan Nick Olson is also with us today. Mr. Olson, how are you, my friend?
Doing excellent.
Great. Great to have you join us. Hey, make sure to check out the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Sign up for the newsletter. It's free. Access our social media accounts. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Those are free. And subscribe on YouTube. It's also
subscribe
free.
On YouTube. Subscribe. Do it.
You can feed the addiction to Husker football all off season long. And you can find it all on commonfan.co and keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fan. So check it out, www.commonfan.co. While you're at it, while you're accessing the internet, go to cpbeef.com. Use the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN, and you get 25% off. Why would you pay full price when you can get the Common Fan discount of 25% off on all your steaks, your roasts, your beef ribs, your beef hot dogs, your burgers, your ground beef, anything and everything you could want. They've got it at cpbeef.com. Check it out. Use the promo code COMMONFAN to get this premium Nebraska product. You all know it. You've heard me say it a bunch of times, raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. Go to cpbeef.com. Use the promo code COMMONFAN. Last thing, get your Common Fan socks. SilliesCo.com, SilliesCo.com, SilliesCo.com. Use the promo code GBR for life. That's GBR, number 4, LIFE, and get your socks.
All right, Jeff, are you wearing some right now,
Jeff? I'm wearing some right now, fellas. Some black ones right here.
And
right
they're cozy. They're cozy.
Oh, yeah, they're cozy.
I mean, they're a nice pair of socks. Oh, I mean, yeah. Sometimes you get a branded, or somebody's logo on a pair of socks. It's a cheap material.
Really
not
is.
These.
Really
these are is. Nice.
Quality, yeah, nice Common Fan socks. They're nice, yeah. Common Fan socks. Yeah. Hey, before we get going here today, guys, I wanted to send condolences to the family of Greg Sharp, longtime, almost 20-year Nebraska baseball and Nebraska football broadcaster. The news broke on Saturday morning that he had passed away. I think most Husker fans at this point knew that he had been battling pancreatic cancer for almost a year. And really, you know, I was thinking about this, guys. I wrote a little bit about it over the weekend. And, you know, you think about the news of his diagnosis, if I recall, broke in about April. I don't know if he had it for a couple of months at that point or not, but the world found out about April. And his goal at that time was just to make it to the first Husker game on August 31st. Yeah. That tells you something about the seriousness of the diagnosis that he received, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, pancreatic cancer, by every story that I've heard, is one of those that just usually goes quickly, unfortunately. Yeah. It's a tough deal. Yeah. And so, man, he battled and made it all the way through football season. And, you know, his next goal was to get to his daughter's wedding. My understanding is he didn't get there. But hopefully, you know, they had the time to say everything they wanted to say to each other. So, anyway, just a sad deal, a terrible deal. But as always in times like this, like the depth of what humanity is capable of on the good side always comes through as well. And just the tributes to Greg was, by all accounts, have been great to read about and hear about, and just a phenomenal guy. So, and really, I mean, you know, he was, if you think about 17 years in the booth, that's basically a generation.
Yeah.
You know, like there's an entire generation of Husker fans who don't know anything else. And so just a major contribution to the program and to the fabric of all of Husker Nation. So lots of love and thoughts and prayers to the Sharp family. And, you know, pretty cool to see that night, then the Husker baseball team, win it in their tournament in Scottsdale. They won 6-4 over number 16 Vanderbilt. And
big win.
You had to think Sharpie had a little something to do with that.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. And they acknowledged 100% too. I mean, it was all over the place that they were saying this one's for Sharpie, which is so cool. mean, that guy provided so many memories for us over the years, man. Like, you think some of the memorable calls and just awesome guy in the booth. And it's going to be really, it's going to feel really weird without him.
I told both of you guys, like, I guess my ignorance of it was I guess I didn't realize how many lives he touched, because I mean, you have people like Adam Schefter putting tweets out there on the Big Ten Network. He was trending, like, I think like top 10 nationally on X. So the impact he had wasn't just around Nebraska. It was around the entire country. So sad to hear of his passing.
Did you guys, I got emotional when I saw it on X Saturday morning. And I mean, I kind of knew he wasn't, you know, around like Sports Nightly, and he didn't make the baseball trip and stuff. But, and then I was like, I don't know if you guys have ever went through this, but you don't personally know somebody, but they had such an impact on your life that you get emotional. And then I almost feel guilty, like, for their family, like, what can they be going through? Because here I'm crying. I've never met the guy. You know, I grew up on Kent Pavelka, and I can't imagine, you know, somebody taking on that responsibility. Now I can't imagine anyone else but Greg Sharp doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I just, it just really affected me. And I just, it just crushed me. I mean, I kind of had a feeling something, you know, was going to come down the line, but it just, I can't imagine baseball and football games now without him.
Yeah. That's really well said, Nick. You know, not to pull the focus away from Greg, but I think about my own experience. Like, my dad passed away from colon cancer in May of 2022. And just to your point, Nick, like, there's an initial shock when you learn of the diagnosis. And then, you know, usually stage four, you know, it's pretty grim for people. But then you get into this mode of like living, right? And you're like, the person is trying to make the most of whatever time they have left. They're fighting, they're doing chemo. You're believing and hoping that the miracle is possible, because at that point, that's pretty much, it's going to take a miracle, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like you get into that mode, and then, like, he was kind of around, you know, he did a couple football games, and there were clips of him on social media. The athletic department just last month named the radio booth after him, and there was a clip of him. It's like, hey, he looks pretty good, you know, all that. And so it's like there's this initial shock, and then the person goes about their battle, and they try to go on living, and their whole support system goes with them in that journey. And then it's like a whole new shot. Like, you know, it's coming at some point, and you know, it's coming, you know, sooner for this person than it is likely for others. And yet it's like a whole new shock when it happens again.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole, it's an initial gut punch. And then it's a whole nother gut punch when it actually happens, even though, you know, it's coming, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so just lots of hats off to Greg Sharp for his just amazing career and service and all he did for Husker Nation. And again, just love and thoughts and prayers to the family.
Did you guys have a favorite Greg Sharp moment? Like, I know they were playing a lot of the Northwestern Hail Mary, the Ron Kellogg throw.
That's the first one that came to mind for me.
Yeah.
And I love seeing like people will post a clip from, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago or something great that happened. I love it when it's the clip from TV set to the radio audio, you know, and it's always, it's like, I don't want to hear the TV broadcast. I want to hear the Sharp call, you know?
Yep.
Right.
He really, grew on me, you know, with young kids, you're not always around the TV. And so it really grew on me. They would, you know, I don't know if they dropped this, but they would go into the Case IH red zone when they're inside the 20, you know,
everything's sponsored.
Yeah. What grew on me about Greg Sharp was he had the most like aggressive touchdown calls. Like, he would be like, to the 10, the 5, touchdown, Nebraska. You know, he just, it was so aggressive. Grew on me.
Oh yeah.
Authority. I'm going to miss that.
Yeah. Any Schick and Nick listeners know that they would frequently, or Nick Baugh would do his impression of Greg Sharp calling touchdowns, and it was always that way. It was like super aggressive and like over the top, but I loved it. Like, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Well, and I also, in recent years, I got into, to your point, Nick, with small kids, it's not always possible to do this, but even if I was like, you know, doing yard work or something, I'd listen to Husker baseball games online just to have some baseball on in the background or whatever. And just like, he's such a, what I wrote about was like his he this like booming voice, larger than life, felt larger than life, and it felt like he matched the fervor with which Husker fans, you know,
yeah,
the seriousness and the fervor that Husker fans have for their team, right? And he was up to that task. But at the same time, there was a familiarity there. Even none of us met him, as far as I know, gents.
No, no.
But it felt like he was your neighbor. Like there was a comfort there. Yeah. Right? There was a familiarity there. And it wasn't the same. For whatever reason, he couldn't do a baseball broadcast or something. It just was never the same, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's pretty unique to be able to have that kind of impact.
I think. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we got a great episode planned for you today, Common Fans. I want to mention one thing, guys. This is episode 100 for the Common Fans.
What?
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 Yes.
What?
Yes. Yes. Surprised you didn't know that. So just real quick, brief note of like, thanks to everyone who's come along for this ride with us and people who listen regularly and people who don't. If you're just now listening, you got 100 episodes. You can go back and
if you missed out on 100 episodes, congratulations. Yeah. Get to work.
A lot to catch up on. Get to it.
But we love doing this. Our premise from day one was all Husker football all the time. Obviously we mentioned the occasional other Husker sport that's going on, but part of the motivation was as Husker fans ourselves, we know like this time of year, it's February. There's nothing going on. I mean, we know the team's doing workouts and stuff, but we wanted something to be able to help Husker fans continue to feed the addiction and continue to focus on Husker football year round. And that's what we did in we started in October of 23. So obviously got through that season. We went through the whole off season. I was looking back, like we pretty much done at least one episode a week since we started. There's occasional like Easter weekend or something like that, where we didn't get an episode out, but very rare that we don't at least get one episode out. And that's the goal. The goal is to continue to do this and to provide a fan perspective and a fun perspective, but also have guests on and have conversations that are like actually meaningful and relevant to the fan base and not just tell stories about, you know, high school, but even though we have some great high school stories. So anyway, thanks to everyone who's listened. Thanks to everyone who's been on. And we're just getting started, baby. We're just getting started.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Mm-hmm. So if you're not watching on YouTube, Nick Olson is clapping. Thank you, Nicholas.
Yep. Thank you, Nick.
I can only assume that all the Common Fans listening are also standing and applauding.
Yeah. Right now, and if you're driving, keep them at 10-2.
10-2.
Keep them at 10-2.
Keep it at 10-2.
I think some people are telling me it's more like 3-9 now, but I'm a 10-2.
Okay.
At least,
or just
at
one hand on 12. One hand on 12.
Yeah. One hand on 12 and do the Lebowski hitting the roof of the car.
There you go.
There we go.
Okay, so and real quick, just we mentioned the baseball team. So the baseball team went 2-1 over the weekend, and the big win was over Vanderbilt. They kind of stumbled out of the gate. They lost 10-5 to
UC Irvine.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like the first game of the year. UC Irvine's they play outside year round. Kind of like whatever. Then they had the big win over Vandy. They absolutely dismantled San Diego State. What was that? 13-0 yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then by the time this comes out, we're recording this on Monday. It'll be out Tuesday. So they play Grand Canyon here shortly, but we don't know the result of that one yet. And then how about the basketball team?
Yeah.
Literally,
huge
like,
comeback.
They were down, what, about 15 at half? They got down as many as 20 in the second half. Everybody on Twitter is not only writing off the game, but like writing off, like, this isn't going to play well in March. And this might, you know, they might be off the bubble. It might be off the bubble again.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, you know, Fred freaking broke his hand apparently at halftime, punching a whiteboard.
Yeah.
And then they come all the way back. They come storming back and get the W at Northwestern. Quad one win, huge win.
Yeah.
The number I've heard, that's their 17th win. The number I've heard to feel good about the big dance is 19 wins. And they have, I think, at least 4 games left, maybe 5. So you got to feel pretty good about everything with where Husker basketball stands. But that was a really pivotal win on the road.
Definitely.
So
quad one, right? Did you say that?
Quad one. Yeah, quad one.
Quad one.
And I still don't understand how they rank those things, what quad they are.
Yeah,
Northwestern's
like
record's not great.
Almost
but
last
tough,
in the Big Ten.
To win there. I mean, we haven't won there since 2014, I think, is what I heard on the news last night. So,
yeah.
I guess we'll take it.
I'll tell you guys a story. So I watched most of the first half. We got home after church and flipped it on. And And then,
hey, good job getting to church.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Always, Matteo.
Yeah.
and then, the second half, my 2-year-old daughter was like really tired, really fussy. So I took her up to a room and just started rocking her, and she fell asleep on me. And so the entire second half, and I didn't want to, I have the Hulu app on my phone, but I didn't want to turn it on my phone because I thought I might screw it up for the boys watching the game downstairs. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of like hitting refresh on the score online. If you Google the score, and then every time somebody scores, it like will take a basketball to one side or the other.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever.
Yeah.
And it was like, then I, you know, I didn't look for a while. And then suddenly it's like within 6 and suddenly it's tied. I was like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And so anyway, all that to say, we won the game. So I think if we get to the big dance, I'm going to lock myself in Charlotte's room with her.
Nice.
And just hold her and just rock her and not watch the game. If they win, it'll be well worth it.
Similar. Now that is a true fan. That is a real sacrifice.
I'll share a little experience I had yesterday. So I was getting my updates about the game from our fantasy football text thread because I was at a 5th grade girls basketball game and it was coming down to the wire. And we were in a situation where we had the poor clock operator. I mean, he's just a parent, doesn't do it very often. And we've got coaches demanding time be put back on the clock.
Oh my gosh.
One of the girls got fouled as time expired while she was shooting a 3-pointer to win the game.
People
yelling at referees about getting free throw shots, referee calling the game off, waving his hands, all while I'm trying to focus on the Nebraska basketball game at the exact same time. It was probably the most peak high stress moments I've had on a Sunday in a while.
Jeff, I hope you're the guy,
put
Jeff.
Back on the clock. Oh my God, the Huskers are up 4.
Yeah. Jeff, I hope you're the guy defending the clock operator and the referees. They're just volunteers, guys. They're just volunteers.
Yeah.
It's just a parent.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
This is church league. Come on.
Oh my gosh. All right, let's get to the meat of this episode. We're going to look at what kind of work Nebraska did in the transfer portal. We'll look at the recruiting class as well. But the crux of this episode, we want to look at everything they lost because the Huskers did lose quite a bit, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And as we are inching towards spring ball, I wouldn't say we're almost to spring ball, but we're inching towards spring ball sometime in March. Want to kind of take a look at where the roster stands. And of course, we've all learned that they can add guys or lose guys between now and August, certainly.
Yeah.
But I think there'll be probably less motion, less activity on that front than what we've seen since the season ended to now, basically. So guys, let's look at who we lost really quick. First of all, let's just look at the seniors. We talked about this a couple times in the season. I remember when we talked about this in the season and we said, I don't want to focus on this right now. Let's go to something else. Like it came up a couple of times, but it was like, let's not focus on it. Yeah. Well, it's here. We have to face the reality now, gentlemen. It's here. Nash Hutmaker graduated. Isaac Gifford graduated. Jamal Banks. I don't think he has. Either way, he's gone. I don't think he has eligibility left. Either way, he's gone. John Bullock graduated. Tommy Hill. It sounds like they're getting Deshaun Singleton back, which is huge.
Yeah.
Ty Robinson going to get drafted. Isaiah Garcia Castaneda transferred. Brian Buscini, the only good thing about anything relating to special teams this year, graduated. Ramir Johnson, gone. Isaiah Nair, gone. Some of these other MJ Sherman, who really had an impact, especially late in the season. Bryce Benhart, who's been on the offensive line since like the Clinton administration.
Yeah.
Ben Scott. 2-year starting center, really solid center. And then Turner Corcoran's listed with the seniors. I do believe he's got one more year to come back to, just given all the injuries that he's had. But I mean, that's quite, you think Nash and Ty, you think Tommy Hill, you think how many like big moments John Bullock had, which like gave every Husker fan a reason to say, he's a walk-on. He's from Omaha Creighton Prep. What a success story.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy Hill, I mean, he dealt with kind of injuries all year long, but he certainly he had the pick 6 against Colorado. I mean, just a ton of impact guys whose names we've heard a lot, you know, over the last several years, some of them going back to Frost even. Then real quick, I just want to look at what we lost in the transfer portal as well. I probably won't name everybody, but at least sort of the impact players. Lost Dante Dowdell. We talked about this right before the Dowdell news of him transferring broke, of how excited we were about the 1-2 punch of like Emmett Johnson, a little bit more of a complete back, a little more shifty and speedy, and then like the Big Ten hammer, Dante Dowdell. Mm-hmm. So, and then Dowdell decided to transfer. So that was a huge bump. Dave Urban Jr. didn't get a ton of snaps this year, but I think, you know, he was a kind of a favorite of a lot of Husker fans. Jalen Lloyd, we were really hoping to see him kind of take a leap this year. And so Lloyd is gone. Nate Borkircher, which really surprised people. He was probably more of a go-to tight end by the end of the season than even Thomas Fedoni was.
Yeah.
Did I mention Fedoni? Fedoni's gone too.
I didn't mention him, but yeah,
he's gone off to the draft. So Fedoni's another one. And then the big hit for me, guys, was all the defensive linemen. So you had Vincent Jackson, Brody Tagaloa, Kai Wallen, Jamari Butler, James Williams. Butler and Williams really impact guys. Prince Will Umanmielen. Prince Will, a ton of promise, freshman All-American season before last.
Yeah.
So that really hurt. And then on the at the linebacker core too, they weren't spared either. So Mekhi Bayer, who you know had a great season all year long, contributed on special teams, but like was going to be a starter this year. Yeah. And Stephon Thompson, who came from Syracuse, I think with Tony White, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think he might have been starting by late in the year, but certainly knew the defense, was a solid contributor. He had one more year. He went to Florida State with White. And Ismael Smith Flores, who was more of a reserve. But so tons of loss, and that's not even all of them. There's a bunch of other guys who are a little bit more in the reserve role. But I'm counting just what we lost, guys. Let's just start with the D-line here. That's 1, 2, 3. I'm counting D-line, D, and edge all together. 4, 5, 6 guys who transferred. And then Nash, Ty, who else? That's like 8 D-linemen that we lost. And Nash and Ty have anchored that defense for how many years now? 2-3 years.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people, well, starting with the defense, because I think a lot of people are hoping that the offense takes a huge leap forward between year two for Dylan, a full season of Dana Holgorsen, a lot of different reasons. People are optimistic about the offense. But for the team to take a leap, you kind of need the defense to be roughly as good as it was. It could maybe take a little step back, but kind of need the defense to keep up their end of the bargain, which they've carried the team for the last 2 seasons, but they've got to keep it going.
Yeah. And I'm looking at just the numbers that I don't really like these numbers. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like these numbers, guys. Just from what you put on here, it just sounds like if the question is, are we doing enough to, you know, to stop the bleeding, so to speak, from departures versus people coming in? I don't know. That's concerning to me. I'm not going to lie to you. The numbers don't really add up as far as what we're bringing in versus what went out the door. So change my mind. Make me happy. Is there positive spin on this?
Well, part of it's the roster limit. Like you're gonna lose a bunch of guys. You're probably with the transfer part, you're probably gonna lose more than you bring in just because of the roster limit. I mean, there's still, I don't know how many guys we probably need to decide that they're not gonna play football because we didn't have a bunch of, like, I think I saw somewhere they gave that kind of that talk of like, hey, if you guys want to go, you can go. And a bunch of guys are like, no, I'm going to stick around and see if I can get on this roster. So there's going to be some tough conversations, but that's part of it. Yeah. You know, it's, are we doing enough? We won't know until fall. You know, it's like when we added Banks and Nayer as, you know, last year, that, oh, we needed a couple of receivers. Now it's kind of like, okay, now we don't really know what we've got other than maybe Barney.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big one for me. Receivers, O-line, D-line for me was like, okay. So I thought there's enough there, I think, that we're already on the roster for defensive backfield, linebackers. I feel good about running back, but it's, you know, you kind of wonder, okay, we're doing enough with O-line, D-line, receivers. Those are the big, for me, the big three.
Let's stick with the D line.
Defense.
Go. Yeah.
I'm getting too far ahead. I'm getting too
it's
far
okay.
ahead
okay.
here.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Olson. Go ahead.
Well, I think too, we lost a bunch of guys, but I think we were second in the Big Ten in transfer portal, like additions. I think.
Yeah.
So, we have the 5-star kid from Missouri, the defensive end. Yeah. And then also the Georgia Southern linebacker who I think had like 18 tackles.
A million tackles.
Yeah, the game that got Frost fired. And
I think he was like the FCS Defensive Player of the Year or something.
There's young kids. I mean, Vincent Shavers is a dude, I think.
Yeah.
So
that's the other thing. We got to look at the current roster. That's exactly right. So by my count, we lost 8 defensive linemen and 5 linebackers. Now, to your point, Olson, where were we? Our transfer portal class ranking, according to 247, was number 11 in the country, and according to Rivals, was number 13 in the country. So we brought in, I think, 16 guys. So a huge effort to try to fill those holes, right? So yeah. We added Jalen George, defensive lineman from East Tennessee State, Gabe Moore, defensive lineman from Mississippi State, Williams Narnari from Missouri. That's the 5-star kid. He was a 5-star out of high school, played 1 year at Missouri, didn't play a ton, but obviously huge potential there as a defensive lineman. And then at linebacker, we added Deson McCullough from Oklahoma, mm-hmm. who I think has been a contributor. Explosive. He's been at a couple different spots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marquez Watson Trent is the Georgia Southern guy who actually played in Lincoln. Scott Frost last game.
Yeah.
the nail in the coffin game.
Yeah.
For Scott Frost. And then there's Jameer Khan. No, sorry. That's a defensive back. Hold on. Wasn't there one more linebacker here? Okay. So that's 2 linebackers. But then that's the other thing. You got to look at. So there's Keona Davis on the mm-hmm. defensive line, who's on the roster right now, who I
think
a huge dude, could be a starter. Vincent Shavers was all over the place. I feel like he was an impact guy all season long, but especially felt like in the bowl game and kind of late in the season, Vincent Shavers was making a contribution. So I think the question is, we can look more at the current roster too, but I think the hard part always is like this Williams Nanar. I'm screwing this up so bad. Nanari. From Missouri. Everybody's excited about him. He's a 5-star kid out of high school. Didn't play that much his freshman year. Like, maybe he'll be great. Maybe he'll win awards, and maybe he'll be all conference or something. Like, can we expect that in 2025? Can we expect him to be great at all? The example I've given on this show before, when we talked to Brandon Vogel just this year, the example I've given on this show before is, I remember when it was Omar Manning, I think was like the top JUCO wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
And Dedrick Mills was like the top JUCO running back.
Yeah.
And both of those guys coming in, like, it was this, Husker fans do this. We say, we just proclaim that these guys are not only going to be contributors, but are going to be stars before they ever play a down. And God bless both of those guys. I'm not diminishing their contribution to Husker football. They both sweated and bled for this program. They actually made solid contributions. But I always think of those, like, we always do this where we're projecting this kid from Missouri to immediately come in and be all conference. And it's like, nobody knows.
Like, O'Shawn Mathis. Remember O'Shawn Mathis?
Yes.
Like, we all thought, how many? He's going to get double digit sacks for sure. No, didn't really happen that way.
You can't help it. It's hopes and dreams, you guys. Come
that's
on.
Right.
You know, that's exactly what it is.
That's what we do. Yeah. That's what us fans do.
We're delusional. It's awesome. It's fun.
You're delusional, Jeff.
Watch your mouth.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Another thing we haven't talked about yet is incoming freshmen. I know you can't really rely on them that much, but there's a kid from Omaha North, Tyson Terry.
Oh, the wrestler. Who,
there is striking similarities between him and Hutmaker.
Yeah.
This kid has never lost a high school wrestling match. He started on varsity Class A football as a freshman. I mean, he's probably 6'3", 285. And I mean, he is a dude. So I wouldn't rely on him. I don't like relying on defensive linemen as freshmen. But I could see him getting some playing time, you know, the 4 games.
Yeah. Well, a couple other names.
But when you bring that up, though, with like the whole thing, again, with the roster limits, I think we're going to have to start seeing true freshmen contribute more. Because there's just not enough bodies. So you're going to have, there's going to be every year a few sprinkled in here and there. You're going to have true freshmen getting some serious playing time, I think.
Well, so then a couple guys I failed to mention too, Riley Van Poppel. These are guys already on the roster,
right? I'm a fan dude, of RVP.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cam Lanhart was also a freshman All-American along
definitely.
With Emil. Yep. Huge. Elijah Judy was a juke or a transfer like a year or two ago. He's coming back for his senior season. Don't know if he'll be like starter material, but he's definitely going to be a contributor.
Yeah.
And so we have some guys that are just going to have to step up. Maybe they're going to, you know, maybe they didn't get as many snaps because Nash and Ty were on the field so much. Or Jamari Butler or whoever else, but they're going to have to step up. But like we have some dudes. So I think when you throw it all into the blender of who's on the roster, who are the transfers coming in. And then it, like one thing I love about this staff, to your point, Olson, they do let freshmen play if they've earned it, right?
Yep. Yep.
Cam Lanhart, Uman Mielen are two guys that come to mind. Vincent Shavers. So like maybe a guy like Tyson Terry can be a 10 to 15 snaps a game, but they're really huge. Like meaningful snaps, right?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Okay, and then let's look at the linebacker spot real quick, and then I want to go to O-line and wide receiver. Matty, to your
you would want to go to O-line, wouldn't you? You would.
Me? No, you're Hollywood. I'm more of a defense guy. Give me the trenches.
No, I'm talking TJ. I know
I would want to go to the O-line. Jeff,
I know why you want to talk about the offensive line.
Oh, you don't want to run the ball, Jeff? You don't want to be able to
I know why you want to talk about. I know exactly. I know what you want to talk about. I know what you want to talk about.
Where did my notes go? I completely lost my notes. Did I? Oh, here we are. Okay. So what else did we add at the linebacker spot? We added, okay. I mentioned these guys. The main two are McCullough from Oklahoma and Marquez Watson-Trent from Georgia Southern. You have to assume both of these guys are going to be huge impact players. And then in the recruiting class, a couple guys that, again, we're not experts, we're not film guys, but guys that we have heard talked about, this is where I think you could see freshmen contribute right away. Dawson Merritt, who was an Alabama commit, who flipped to the Huskers, linebacker from Overland Park, Kansas. Christian Jones, another four-star linebacker out of Omaha.
I like
those are two huge gets in this class and guys that I think could contribute right away. There's also Pierce Mooberry out of Omaha in the recruiting class. I don't know as much about Pierce. And then on the roster at the linebacker spot, Javen Wright got like a 12th year of eligibility. So that's huge.
Nice.
And then, you know, you got a bunch of Willis McGahee, the fourth.
Yeah.
No.
Vincent Shavers.
He's shown flashes.
Right. So you got, I think I feel a little better about the linebacker spot. I don't know why. I guess just because
you've talked yourself into hopes and dreams, TJ. You're doing it right now. A lot of length and
athleticism, I think.
Yes.
Like, I mean, you talk like the McCullough kid, the transfer from OU. So they on three list him at 6'5", 230, and at a safety spot. So he could be like imagine him playing in like Isaac Gifford's role, where you're like a rover. Like you come up to stop the run, but you're good enough to play in pass coverage. Like, man, it's exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Any other thoughts on D line or linebackers, boys?
Not for me.
No. I just know that, man, in the Big Ten, you have to have at least a decent defensive line, or you are in big trouble. I mean, we've found that out the hard way at Nebraska. So
you got to have that depth. Got to have the depth.
I agree with Nick. This is as much as we relied on everything, all things defense, the last couple of years. That's there are some big losses there, but I think we can make it work.
And it can deceive you because it's not a big stat column. Like Hutmaker isn't going to make a lot of tackles, but if you don't have a good nose tackle, you are in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah. You want somebody that can draw two blockers and clog things up.
I think Brandon Vogel made this point when we talked to him. If you look at the Nebraska Ohio State game and you look at that, what that team just did in making a run and winning the national championship, the Nebraska defense pretty much controlled the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Ohio State could not run the ball.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember, we had at least one stop. I think we had two stops on fourth down in that game, didn't we?
Yep.
And, you know, I think the Huskers played Ohio State close, lost by four. I think we played them closer than just about anybody in the country.
Yep.
So
that's right, TJ. You know,
unfortunately, You know, the offense couldn't capitalize on all the opportunities, but had the ball with a chance to win at the end. I mean, you know, that's, you know, you're going blow for blow with the best team in the country. So that's pretty, that you, and then you think about losing Nash and Ty and those guys. And that's what starts to, you know, I don't know about you, Jeff. It keeps me up at night. All right. On the
don't go saying Ohio State's the best team in the country. Okay. You're really getting loose with your words.
I think
now,
that's
okay?
been proven that
they're,
they are.
No,
I think
they're fine. They're fine.
That's what just happened.
They're
objectively
fine.
The best team. Yeah, in the country.
Sure. They're okay. Fine.
All right. So on the O line in the transfer portal, we only lost one guy, Jacob Hood. I think he had transferred from Georgia, and everybody got really excited about that, and then he never played. I don't mean to whatever.
Gigantic kid.
Yeah. God bless Jacob. Good luck. And then departing seniors, we mentioned Ben Hart and then Ben Scott. So those are two. Oh, and Micah Mizkuha, mm-hmm. That's right. I thought Mizkuha had more time. Okay, so Mizkuha was the transfer from Florida who ended up only playing about half the year. He had some off the field issues that no one ever.
Yeah, really, he's just no kind of a wild card. Just seemed like kind of a wild card.
Yeah,
probably not a bad guy. Just you know, some people just don't walk the straight line like some of us.
Exactly, some of us. So I mean, those are some losses, right? But here's why I feel good about the O line. So we got the two transfer portal additions we got are major. Elijah Pritchett, offensive tackle from Alabama, and Rocco Spindler from Notre Dame. Rocco, alive! sorry. Godfather 2 reference for those of you who didn't catch the last episode.
Yes.
and so I assume those are plug and play guys, right?
Yeah.
And so you look at this O-line and who's coming back. Henry Lutovsky is going to be a senior. He started a boatload of games for the Huskers. Justin Evans is going to be a junior. He started a bunch of games. Mm-hmm. So you got to figure Lutovsky is a guard. Evans has played guard and center. And then Rocco is in an interior lineman. So those are probably your three,
somebody's going to play center. One of those three, probably.
Yeah, I think Evans will probably play center.
I think that's right, Nick. And then I've heard good things about Sam Sledge too, though. So that's the thing we've talked about on this program is we're now heading into year three of Matt Rhule, and he just like collected so many offensive linemen in his first two recruiting classes. We saw that starting to pay off with when Corcoran and then Teddy Prohaska got injured, Gunnar Gatula came in and really didn't miss a beat at left tackle.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if your two tackles are Gatula and the guy from Alabama,
Pritchett
from Alabama. I kind of wonder if those are your two tackles. And Gatula is only a sophomore, but I've heard really good things about Sam Sledge. And I think I saw somebody mention he could maybe be a center even. And then the other thing you got to keep in mind is Corcoran, I think, is back and Prohaska's back. And so the question with those guys will be health, but those guys have played a lot of snaps for Nebraska football as well. And then you start looking at some of these other offensive linemen who, you know, Preston Tamua was the number one player in Hawaii. He'll be a redshirt freshman now. Gibson Pyle, all name team, redshirt freshman out of Texas. Grant Bricks, I think, was the number one player out of Iowa, one of the top players out of Iowa. Yeah. All those guys are redshirt freshmen now. So does anybody from that bunch jump out? Or does, I'm looking at some of the sophomores here, Brock Knutson, mentioned Sam Sledge, Grant Segrin. I mean, they got a ton of dudes and a ton of bodies. Yeah. Tyler Knock, who's a junior, Knock, whatever it is. I think he's played a bit. So I actually feel pretty good about the O-line. And there's been consistency with Donovan Raiola, the O-line coach, which I think will help as well. Matty O, go ahead.
TJ, I wasn't so sure about the O-line until you just broke it down like that. So thank you. I am really jacked about our O-line now. When you talk through it and you talk about all those names and there's some experience, it's a mix of experience and potential. And it just, I'm really excited about this O-line now.
Yeah. Now look what you did, TJ. I hope you're happy. Look
he did it for
you
me.
You got Owen salivating now. And if anything doesn't go the way he wants it to, he's gonna be down in the dump. So good for you, TJ. Way to go.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Hope is not a good thing.
It's the best of things, Jeff.
I heard hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things. That's what I've heard. Okay. So I'm sorry you're so negative today.
I'm not negative, okay? I'm not negative.
I'm sorry you don't have hope.
All right. He's miserable over there. He's just thinking about having to go out and break out a snow shovel.
I have to go shovel the walk. Done. I have to go it's shovel the walk.
You. It's good for you. You need the exercise. God knows you're not exercising on your own.
Yeah, whatever. You were all gonna right. run a. You were gonna run a mile.
I'm still running. I'm still running.
Oh, we were gonna, yeah. We were whatever happened to that? Remember you showed off your shoes? How long? That was like months ago when you were showing everybody your shoes running. On the I'm podcast. Still
how close are we to this? How close are we to the 7 minute we're mile that you say that you claim you ran in high school?
Yeah, I didn't Jeff, claim. I did run.
It doesn't count. Mile,
it happened,
Jeff. It doesn't count when you have a martini in one hand and a cigarette in the other hand. That doesn't count.
Go.
I am nicotine free for almost 3 years. You SOB. Get off my case.
Congratulations. Well done. Well done.
I've been martini free for about 48 hours. So.
Well, that sounds like a long time. So yeah. you can remedy that tonight. Okay, let's pivot to the wide receivers. So we lost some guys in the transfer portal, and not a knock on these guys, was more potential than production. Okay.
Yeah.
So we lost Jalen Lloyd is the one that really hurts.
Yeah.
Speedster out of Omaha, didn't have like track speed guy, had a major track offers out of high school, if I recall correctly, not a ton of football offers, and Rule brought him in, and he had like it was that guy who would have like one or two catches. Not even every game, but every couple of games in 2023 for like 50 yards.
Yeah.
Scored a touchdown. If I recall, didn't he have the touchdown, the long touchdown against Wisconsin and another one against Iowa? Wasn't that?
It was Purdue. I think it was Purdue, Northwestern, Wisconsin. He had like six catches for the season and three of them were for touchdowns.
Yeah. And so I kind of thought with Dylan and with the new look offense in 24, we'd see more Jalen Lloyd. I do think he was open a lot. Maybe didn't get the ball as much as you would think. Really, really hoped he'd give it one more chance with Dana Holgorsen on board now.
Yeah.
Can't really blame. He went to Oklahoma State. Like, you know, I can't really blame the guy, but that one hurts.
I don't really know like the X, Y, and Z, like who lines up where, but I think did Barney kind of push Lloyd out? Is that? That's what
that
I
could
kind
be.
Of,
I think
that
there's a little bit of that. Yeah.
Like I'd take Ja'Cory Barney over Jalen Lloyd.
Well, sure, you take Ja'Cory Barney over just about anybody, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you're, yeah, I'm with you with X, Y, and Z, but I would think it'd be like Banks and Nair were the X and Y, right? I think the Z is usually a slot. So that to me, that's, yeah, you're giving up, your Barney's getting more snaps than Lloyd, I think is what happened.
And then two guys that were young guys, Malachi Coleman out of Lincoln East. Yeah. And Isaiah McMorris, who's a Bellevue West guy. Yeah. Both of those stink just because they're in-state guys. And you'd like to think if they stuck around, maybe their opportunity comes. But in this day and age, it's hard to blame anybody for chasing an opportunity. And the last one is Isaiah Garcia Castaneda, who I can't believe the guy still has eligibility.
No
left.
Kidding.
Good golly.
He transferred out as well. And then I mentioned Bora Kircher. We'll lump the tight ends to this conversation as well. I mentioned Bora Kircher. This is the wide receiver. Oh, and then Davon Hall was the other Bellevue West guy. So McMorris and Hall were both like four stars out of Bellevue West. I think everybody was excited about it. And then Nair, I thought Nair was a senior, and then it was like he's going to transfer, and then maybe he wanted to come back, and then he was going pros. It's not, nobody really knows what's going on there, but he's not coming back. So I don't.
No.
It makes me wonder if Nebraska didn't want him back. And then Banks, we lose Banks as well. I mean, the wide receiver thing is so interesting to me, like Lloyd, Coleman. I mean, some of those are transfers that was their own choice, but like the guys we just mentioned are like a perfect encapsulation of Nebraska football and wide receivers over the last what feels like 25 years.
Yeah,
I mean, we always say it's a huge need. We always recruit these guys that people are excited about, and then they disappear. They literally like then you never see them on the field, and suddenly it's a white walk-on who's getting most of the snaps, and it's not that matters.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But it's just like some kid that nobody's ever heard of getting all the snaps. It's like, where are the guys that were? Oh, and then we've had some, you know, Trey Palmer. We've had
Toure.
Samari Toure.
Samari Toure.
So we've had like a we've hit. I think Banks was really solid this year. I think some of the problem this year was the concepts in the offense and the offensive coordinator as much as it was the receivers. Mayer, I felt like, was a little more of a wild card this year, and I see that drop against Iowa every night as I try to go to sleep. And so anyway, I guess the point where I'm going with this is we had a great haul in the transfer portal. Again, because of all this PTSD, I don't know if we should believe it or not.
Yeah.
But Dane Key, I think we were one of the top, somebody did a ranking. We were like number two when it came to wide receivers. So Dane Key from Kentucky, Hardly Gilmore, the fourth from Kentucky. Yeah. Naziah Hunter, who's just finished his freshman season. So he's got out of Cal. All those guys put up solid numbers as wide receivers. And you've got Ja'Cory Barney coming back. We got two. This is really where you could see true freshmen contribute. Cortez Mills out of Florida, four-star wide receiver, and Isaiah Mosey from Lee's Summit, Missouri. I mean, at least the way people are talking, everybody expects those guys to get on the field, similar to what Ja'Cory Barney did this year. And then back to the point that I just made about where do all these wide receivers go. But looking at the roster, we've got so at tight end, I'll just mention the tight ends really quick. Luke Lindenmeyer, who came on at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Holgerson really seemed to like him. And Harburg, who I think everyone – is excited about just because of his athleticism. I feel like he could step right in now that he's full-time committing to tight end. I feel like he could really have an impact. And then here's the question. There's Carter Nelson, who played as a true freshman, a guy from Ainsworth, really gifted athlete. Does he move to tight end this year or does he continue as a wide receiver? And then at the wide receiver spot, I'm looking at these names that are on the current roster and I don't recognize most of them. But
who the hell is this guy?
He was dead. Cross him often. So we said Barney, Ja'Cory Barney, obviously, and Janiron Bonner, which I love the way they found really creative ways to use Bonner all season long.
He's H-back, he's a tight end,
fullback. A bigger dude. So I'm really hopeful about Bonner. But and then Demetrius Bell, there was a ton of hype around Demetrius Bell, and then he hurt his knee in spring ball last year in the spring game, I think it was. So we'll be interested to see about Demetrius Bell. But then Cooper Hausman, Roman Mangini, Quinn Clark. There's been a lot of smoke around Quinn Clark.
Six five,
really good athlete. So we'll
looks
see.
The part.
Elon Smith from Missouri, Neil Smith's son. So we'll see about some of these guys, but I think when you factor in Barney, Nelson, Harburg, Lindenmeyer, who did I just say?
Carter Nelson.
Bonner. And then the transfers and the recruits. I mean, just like you got just Mosey, Mills, are the two true freshmen, and then the three transfers, Key, Gilmore, and Hunter. Just of that group, if you get like two of those guys to flash on top of Barney and, you know, two of those guys to break out on top of like Barney and one or two, like that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Owens, did I talk you into that one or no?
I'm excited about the wide receiver room. The O line, you know, you did that for me. I, you know, talking through it, you summed it up perfectly.
Hey, thanks.
Ooh. Yeah, you bet.
All right, those are the main position groups. You mentioned we talked about most of the defense. They have like 417 defensive backs.
Yeah. Right?
And Singleton's coming back. Hartsog's coming back. You know, who was the guy who really flashed in the bowl game? I'll remember it. Okay. Oh, Marquez Buford Jr. is coming back. Did I say that already? Yeah, and Hartsog, Deshaun Singleton, Ramir Stewart is coming back. And Caleb Benning got some play late in the year. He played in the bowl game. Bly Hill, we'll see. He's another guy who got hurt in the spring game last year. He's a JUCO guy, but I think they were thinking
I'm blanking on that. Who's the kid that the corner that ended up playing a ton and was doing really well?
Was it Evan Taylor?
Was it Saunders? Saunders? Lyles?
Sanders?
Yeah.
Come on.
Did we name him already? The kid that had the pick six against USC, his old team.
Oh, Sierra Wright.
Oh, so yes. You're right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's a starter for sure.
Am I missing him? Why is he? Yeah. Oh, there he is. There he is. Sorry. Yeah. This. I'm just looking at the roster, but I don't know what. Maybe it's in alphabetical order. Anyway, yeah, Sayre Wright. That's another. So actually, as I look at this, you got Sayre Wright, Malcolm Hartsog, Marques Buford Jr., and Deshaun Singleton. Those four guys are all seniors.
Yeah,
they've all played. Maybe Sayre Wright's not. I thought he was a junior, right? Let me look at this. He's a senior as well. All seniors. So that's like you got a nucleus to start with, right? And then they just have a boatload of these young guys that hopefully some of them can come through.
Yeah.
And then let's look at the recruiting class. I mean, that's the other area, kind of like wide receivers. You never know. You could see some DBs sort of flash. You have Bryson Weber from Texas, and not as heavy on the DBs in this class. Caden Vermaas from Omaha, probably because they have so many on the roster, but
yeah.
I'm excited about Caleb Benning. Well, who was the kid that played a ton in the bowl game? Why is that escaping me? That's driving me absolutely nuts. The Jeremiah Charles is coming back. He's played a bit.
Lyles. Yeah, Charles.
Caleb Benning, Mario Buford, Donovan Jones. That's who I'm thinking of.
That's who it was. We're like number like 37 or something. 37. I'm like, who hell is that guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, pretty good there. And then, let's just finish this thing up. Let's look at running backs and quarterbacks. We haven't even talked about special teams. Maybe we should do that. Yeah. I think the most important add of the offseason, so TJ Latif is the sort of quarterback of the class. He'll be a true freshman.
Yeah.
He was a four-star guy. I think he was a lead 11 guy. A lot of hype there. He'll obviously sit behind, I assume he'll redshirt. He'll sit behind Dylan for, you know, a couple of years, you would imagine. But the big one to me, just as important, is Marcos Davila, this kid from Purdue, mm-hmm. who's only a redshirt freshman. You sort of wonder, I don't think anybody transfers intending to sit. So maybe he kind of views himself on par with Latif, and they both back up Raiola for a couple of years, and then they battle it out for the job. But it's just nice to have. And then we got that Jalen Graham's dad who transferred from that small school in Iowa in the offseason. He's sticking around again as well. God forbid anything happened to Dylan, but it's nice to think you've got three guys. I mean, I don't know about Latif. You never want to put that on a true freshman. You got three guys who could potentially come in and run the offense if Dylan got hurt or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think both of those guys, they played at bigger high schools. So that, I mean, they're used to the pressure and stuff. I know Latif did.
Yeah, Davila's from Texas, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think he played at a big Texas high school. So you like to see that. So they're used to the pressure.
Yeah.
Okay, and then real quick on the running back thing. I mean, we mentioned, I think the big loss is Dowdell.
Mm-hmm.
Emmett Johnson's coming back. So
Almost lost him.
So he went into the portal, and the staff got him to come back. So that was a huge win for the staff. I mean, I think EJ is your guy, right? It felt like it. They rotated a lot this year, and I love Ramir. I'm glad Ramir got as much playing time as he did, but then it would be like Emmett would have a great game, and then you wouldn't see him the next game. Like it was just weird. And then Dowdell seemed one day to be your number one back, and the next game was just your goal line back. It was kind of confusing, and I feel like again once Holgerson arrived, he just kind of simplified things, and I think it was you saw Emmett really emerge. So I think EJ is your guy. I do think it's kind of I think it was the wide receivers I mentioned. I'm looking at this list of guys on the roster, and I don't recognize a lot of these names. I know the staff is high on Quentin Ives.
Yep.
Yeah. Kenneth Williams, Isaac Dickey, Trent Euler, Rowdy Bauer, another candidate for the all-name team. Love that. Yeah. Rowdy Bauer. Mekhi Nelson. And then in the recruiting class, you've got Connor Booth and Jamarian Parker. So we'll see there. I mean, I think that's a little bit of a concern, especially if something were to happen to Emmett. I think that's like a sleeper concern. I say sleeper just because I don't think it's one that people are talking about a ton, but we didn't have a splash ad in the transfer portal at running back and probably really couldn't afford an injury to Emmett.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's where having a guy like our buddy Dana is huge, because if you got a stud running back and he goes down, I think his offense is versatile enough that you can make up for that loss. Like just thinking back to all those running backs in his system and in different air raid offenses where the running backs not, you know, you could, they'd have a 5'9" guy back there that would just have such huge lanes to run through just because of the way the offense was going. You know what I mean? They'd run like some draw play and this, you know, this little scat back would get like 12 yards. So I don't, you know, I obviously want Emmett to be as healthy as possible for the entire season, but you know, if he goes down for the season, God forbid, or something like that, you know, I think we're in better shape than we would have been without Dana.
You never know how C2 Nebraska high school football is going to translate, but Connor Booth was the second leading rusher in the country and out of Bishop Newman. So I mean, I would be surprised if he doesn't play just a little bit. I mean, obviously not the best talent probably he's going up against, but to rack up that many rushing yards, and I think he sat a lot in the second half. So
yeah,
we stop? It's your next Danny Woodhead.
Exactly.
Except this time he came to Nebraska.
Let's quit talking about hypothetical injuries. All right, you're going to will these things into existence. So just quit talking about it. Stop.
I hear you, Jeff. You're right.
I'm just saying.
TJ brought it up.
You always want to have depth. Do you not always want to have depth?
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Do you not?
You do.
Just don't speak Jeffrey.
Do you not?
Do you not?
Do you not want to have depth?
All time, one of my favorite lines that you use quite frequently. Did he not? Did he not do this?
Are we not?
It just sounds very like lawyerish, very very politician-y. Did he not? Yep.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The shoe fits.
All right, fellas. Great conversation. We got anything final to add? Matt, why don't you mute Jeff and Nick or Matt? You guys have anything to add?
No, I'm still running. That's what I want to add. I'm still running. I'm running.
Oh, we lost his audio. Oh, shoot. Dang it.
You brought up special teams. We added a punter from Washington. That's right.
Shoot. Thank you.
And I believe the best long snapper in the country, too.
That's right. Thank you for bringing that up, Nick. We added Washington's punter. And and a long snapper as well from New Hampshire, but he was like the top guy on the list or one of the top guys on the list. So who knows, man? I'll believe it when I see it when it comes to special teams.
Yes.
I think they feel good about where they are with their place kicking situation. So Johnny Hole looked really reliable some games and then had some bad misses other games. And then you have Tristan Alvano who battled an injury basically the entire year. So I assume they think one of those guys will be their guy in 2025. I mean, I will say like 1000% holes that some of the misses and blocks, I'm thinking of the Iowa game again, keeps me up at night, were related to terrible snaps.
Yeah. That happened several times throughout the year.
It's hard to know. I never put a block on the kicker, first of all, but even the misses, like it's hard to know how much you would really even put on Hole or Alvano because special teams was such a mess. So you just have to hope that the arrival of Mike Eckler, David City, Nebraska native, one of the best special teams units in the country at Tennessee that just fixes it all in special teams.
Is Brett Maher still on our staff too? Is he still working with kickers or is he just in here for one season and out?
I don't think anybody knows.
I haven't heard anything from our sources, Jeff.
And they brought him in. All right. I'm a Brett Maher guy. I like that guy.
Jeff, there's a thing called Google. Why don't you do some research?
What?
Why don't you do some research?
I don't even know. How am I even talking to you?
He doesn't even keep his calendar on his phone. Are you talking to him? Telling him to Google something?
Jeff still uses a paper calendar.
The Franklin planner.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us for episode number 100, Common Fans. We're only just getting started. We got a lot more
C-note.
Where this came from. We'll be back at you soon. Our next episode, we'll look at three reasons why the Huskers are poised to take a big leap in 2025. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.